great to have you here with us. Welcome to those who are joining us online. And this morning we're going to continue. We just started briefly last Sunday. We kind of did Vision Sunday and just sharing where we've been the last 12 months, where we're looking to go over the next several months. And we had that intro into the book of Galatians as we're going to be starting a new series. And so as we start, let me ask you a question. You can help me out with this. What is maybe something that is easy for you to share that is good news? Can you think of some examples that you would share? I see Ansel over here. I'm going to do the sanitized version, okay? Announcing that a baby has been born healthy and safely, and that is the sanitized version in case you didn't hear what Angela said. But Angela likes to announce how wonderful her birth stories are. And anyways, moving right along, do we have any other examples? That's good news. Well, don't go shy on me either, okay? I know that's a tough one to top. A couple more examples. Something over here. Awesome. And Betty does this. Betty loves to announce that Jesus is your Lord and Father. Like, just remarkable things that God's done in Betty's life. That's also good news to us. Our healer pronounce it. You guys went right to the religious answer. I appreciate you going right there. Grandchildren, weddings, your sports team won. That should be right up there as well, right? All kinds of things that you guys like to announce. I see it. I read it every week. There's all kinds of things that you love to share that's good news. And what we're taking a look at is this. We were saying last week that a guy named Apostle Paul had good news. And so the background, Paul, a very religious guy, very zealous, but he was missing Jesus. And he encounters Jesus, the risen Christ, God. And Jesus gets a hold of Paul's life, and he calls him to follow him. And then he says this, Paul, I'm setting you aside because you are going to declare the message mainly to the Gentiles, those who don't have a Jewish background. And Paul, that's what he did. He followed Jesus, and he taught about Jesus, and he declared the truth about Jesus, his life, death, resurrection, his ascension, Jesus coming again, taught about the kingdom of God. And everywhere Paul went, people put their faith and trust and hope in Jesus. And they became followers of Jesus, and they gathered together. And Paul established churches in different communities. And then when Paul left, guess what he did? He wrote back letters to those communities. And that's the context of us reading the book of Galatians. We're reading Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. And that's where we're picking up the story. And what we saw last week is that, and we're going to read it again here in a moment, the tone of Paul's letter is very different from most of his other letters. So most of his other letters are like, hey, to the church in Fredericton, greetings, peace be upon you. Hey, I remember being with you. It was great. You know, I'm so encouraged. Da-da. And that's what this tone is really different. And why we're saying, why is Paul so abrupt in this message? You remember what happened last week? What did we talk about? I've got my zero sugar sparkling ice. And what happened when I put a little bit of sugar in it? Do you remember? It fizzed up. Because what happened? It changed. I could no longer, even though it's just a little bit of sugar, I could no longer say it's sugar-free. Because one change changes the whole thing. And Paul's saying this, and this is what we're going to explain over the next couple of months. Paul's saying, if you change the message of the good news of the gospel, even slightly, it's no longer the gospel. And Paul has a very parental view. He knows his children, his spiritual children, are in danger. And Paul writes because he knows they're in danger. And this is a life and death matter. It really affects, folks, what we believe affects our lifestyle and our practice both here on earth, and we're believing for eternity. That's the severity of things. So let's read Galatians together. And so it's going to be up here on the screen. Again, I find it helpful. If you want to read along, please go ahead if you're able to read, and we'll read this together. So this is the intro to the letter, Galatians 1, verses 1 done. Let's read it together. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say it again. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Whew. Pretty severe, isn't it? What a way to start a letter. And Paul's writing to, you got to remember the context, folks. Paul's writing to Christians. He's writing to believers. He's already been there. He's preached the message. They believe. And now he hears the message is changing. And Paul's saying this. Whew. And we're going to find out. Sort of the number one issue is they were adding on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they were saying to the Gentile believers who were coming from mainly pagan backgrounds into a church that was mainly a Jewish background, and the Jewish people there, many teachers and were saying this, okay, it's fine that you believe in Jesus, but then you also have to do all these things. And they were reverting back to the law of Moses, saying what you eat, all these different things, you have to follow all these Jewish customs. And in order for God to really love you, and in order for you to really please God, you need to do all these extra things. That was at the heart of what? And Paul's writing and saying, no! He's saying, if we change the gospel message, you're under a curse. It's not, Paul's not putting a curse on you. He's saying, no, you haven't been removed from being under the curse of living in sin. You're not going to be under what God has done in Jesus Christ. And Paul writes with authority. He's saying this. Paul's saying, I have a divine calling. If you had time to read Paul's story, did I mention Paul was persecuting the Christians? And Jesus revealed himself to him. It was just incredible encounter. He said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he was blind for 3 days. He didn't eat for 3 days. He went, and God revealed to Paul what was going to happen. And it says this in the book of Acts. You can read it. It says he revealed to Paul the suffering that he would go through. Following Jesus. And he's saying, I'm setting you apart. You go to the Gentiles and you're going to be a light to them. Paul's saying, I've got a divine calling. Jesus has sent me. And he says this, I have a divine message. Jesus gave me the message that I'm to preach. And he's saying, I'm not sent, it's not human made, it's not man made. And Paul says this, it's a very good standard for us. He's saying, any message that comes has to line up with the Word of God. And Paul says, if I change the message, I'm disqualified. He says this, even if an angel showed up here this morning in heavenly, we are all like, and that angel preaches a message that's different from the one of Jesus, don't listen. So, in our day and age, social media, TikTok, everything that comes up on our screens, even if they're like 30-second sound bites, folks, there's a standard in God's Word that we have to test everything towards. No matter how charismatic, how good sounding, how great it sounds, or passage or anything, there's a standard. And we have to unpack that standard to know we're lining this up. And if it doesn't line up with this, we're to reject it. No matter how good the packaging, how good it might sound, if it doesn't line up with God's Word, folks, it's severe. It's life and death. Do you get the tone of Paul's message? So what I want to do this morning, briefly, we just want to look at sort of a definition of this gospel. And we see that this gospel is good news. It's like a declaration. It's like an announcement. It's like a proclamation. And we talk about this. Caesar went to war and they won. There was a gospel sent out saying, it's good news. We're victorious. It's stating truth. It's not just stating an opinion or advice. It's stating factual truth. Good news. gospel, announced, proclaimed, declared. And Paul's saying, this is what I've declared to you. And he does a very quick review, and it's amazing. In just a few verses, he goes through some of the things that are included in this gospel of Jesus Christ, this good news of Jesus Christ. Let's look at some key components. And he starts with this. He starts by saying, this is who we are. We're helpless and lost. Now, folks, that cuts across everything in our culture today. Because you're going like, I can eat? It's a little bit offensive, isn't it? Even me reading it and even me preparing this week, it's like, ooh, that's a little bit offensive. Because everything I hear all week in social media, every culture and everything is this. It's all the sound bites are this. Pastor, you got this. You're enough. We're singing that song, you know, we're not summing up something inside of us that's innate in us. No, we've been given the Holy Spirit. That's what we're saying. Soul, don't get tired of it. You know, the Holy Spirit within me helps me to proclaim. Our culture is, you've got something in there that you need to discover, find out, release in order for you to be enough. And you're strong enough. You can do this. You've got this. It's all about, I can do it. And the gospel says this. You're lost. You can't save yourself. You don't have it in you. You don't got this. It's offensive. It goes against everything. There's a key verse. There's a couple words that Paul says is this. Jesus came to rescue us. Now, it makes no sense for me right now to come to Don Long Earth and say, Don, you're drowning. Here you go. Put it on right now. Right now. He's lost. He's helpless. He needs assistance. It makes no sense for me to say, here's a life jacket. You're drowning. You need it right now. Is the poor man drowning right now? No. Why does Paul say Christ came to rescue us if we didn't really need a rescue? Well, folks, we need it to be rescued. So one of the misconceptions the Galatians had is this, and it sneaks into our culture today, even in church culture. Right behavior equals us getting right. Now, this is where it gets tricky. Do we want right behavior? Do we want obedience? Yes, we do. But what's the motivation for that obedience? And what's the end result? If we think our obedience and our doing good and our good deeds and our performance is what makes God pleased with us, folks, you know, I'm a teacher. You know, we spent a whole year on formation. Like, please hear me. We're all for following Jesus. We want to obey his teaching. We want to be formed and fashioned in the image of Christ. All those things are absolutely true. But it's preceded by our rescue. If I were to give the same illustration, let's just pretend Don really is drowning right now. If you can use your imagination, Don's in a body of water, he's exhausted, he's going down, okay? Would this be helpful to him? You ready, Don? Can you catch this? Look out, girls. Look out, ladies. Ready? Can you imagine if I did this? This is a level 2 manual on learning how to swim. So he's drowning. How about I do this? Ready? There you go. Good catch. Now, hopefully you've got a couple hours to go through that. Folks, I'm trying to really hammer home a point here. Jesus is the greatest teacher who ever lived. But in Paul's brief definition, he doesn't even talk about Jesus being a teacher. He says this, Jesus is coming to rescue us from this present evil age. Trust me, Jesus is the best teacher, and we've got a lot to learn from it. I'm not denying that. but sending a bunch of teaching to Don to say, here, learn how to swim, is not going to save him. What does he need? He needs a lifeline. Thank you, whoever said that. I don't even know if I can reach you. I had to come incarnate and come right to be in the flesh with him. That's very biblical. He needs a rescue. He needs, like, him studying how to swim is not going to save him right now. He needs an external source. He needs someone to rescue him. Folks, hopefully you're getting the point. Jesus has come to rescue us. Why do we need to be rescued? Thanks, John. Thanks for letting me get that here today. Two main things. One is, Paul, and we went through this in the Psalms this summer. David says, I'm born into sin. My first Adam and Eve sinned, and there was a curse for their disobedience, separation from God. And every person on planet Earth who's been born after Adam and Eve has been born into sin. We have this condition. Now, the good news is, we're made in the image of God. We have a remnant of that. So we are important. We are valued. Do you realize God and Satan fight over our lives? We're valued. But we're tainted. There's something wrong. And we're selfish and all those things. And we can say we live in this present evil age. Because unless God intervenes, planet Earth is. That's the first thing we need a rescue from. The second, we just need a rescue from ourselves. If we're really honest with ourselves, do we follow the Ten Commandments? And if we follow the Ten Commandments, what's our motivation for doing that? If Jesus came along and Jesus said, hey, don't commit adultery, but Jesus said, even if you lust after a woman, you've committed sin again. And Jesus just upped the standard. Like, I was doing well not to swear, not to steal, not to lie, obey my parents, don't murder, worship God, don't have any idols, don't covet, there's a couple more. I'm doing pretty good. And then Jesus says, yeah, but what about your thought life? What about your motivation? Why are you doing this good deed? As I said, if we think we can get right with God by our performance, it's exhausting. How do you ever know if you're good enough? That's exhausting. And can I just say this? Because mainly it's church people here. Paul's writing to Christians. Yeah, no, dude. You can even be saved. And you know that God saved you, and you can slip under even your acceptance, and you can go under the performance again. That I know God saved me, I couldn't do it on my own, but in my everyday life, for God to love me, for God to accept me, for God to like me, I got to follow all the rules and regulations. I don't know how my performance is, and you're just like, oh! You can be saved, but you can also slip under even salvation of being a very performance-based, religious-based, my works over the works of Jesus. It can be very subtle. That's the culture we can live in. I grew up in a church culture. I had a lot of good things, but folks, I had a lot of external factors. Like, it really was like, you couldn't, there's a lot of things you couldn't do. And I actually followed that. God didn't like me. Some of these things were good things in and of themselves, but where they were prioritized and the motivation behind them was not the gospel. It wasn't freedom. So I can spend a main point on this, number one. Who we are is we're helpless and lost. We need a rescue. And folks, it's humbling. But the Bible says that without Christ, we're lost. We're dead. We're separated. give. We want to focus on what Jesus did. Jesus. But folks, everything we're singing about this morning, such good news. Jesus rescues. Jesus rescues. Jesus rescues. We can use different words. Jesus delivers. Jesus saves. Jesus rescues. Hallelujah. Jesus rescues. It's good news here this morning because Jesus rescues. Isn't that good news? Jesus rescues. Jesus rescues. Jesus rescues. It's good news. Something we couldn't do ourselves, Jesus has done. It's good news. It's good news. We're proclaiming good news. It says this, how did Jesus rescue? Who gave himself for our sins to rescue us. He gave himself. Jesus is our substitution. He gave himself. He took our place in place of. There's a penalty for our disobedience. And Jesus came, and he came on planet Earth, fully God, fully human, and he lived a perfect life. He fulfilled all of the Old Testament laws. He fulfilled them. He was perfect. He had right standing with God. And yet, he substituted himself for us, for me, for us, for the sins of the world. And he went on the cross, and he paid the penalty for our sin. An innocent person substituted himself and became a sacrifice for us, and he paid the price. His performance then gets credited to our performance, and our performance gets credited to Jesus. So I wrote a test. I failed. Jesus made 100. He gives me the 100, and my failure goes to Jesus. Isn't that good news? I passed. And we think, I passed. Jesus did the work, and his performance paid the price. His sacrifice was perfect for this once and for all. Hallelujah. Good news. Jesus was the full payment. The wrath of God was satisfied. God's right justice was satisfied. And the good news of the gospel is this. We just have to believe it and trust and receive. It's like a gift. Jesus, I believe what you did on the cross. Believe it with all my heart, and I trust that that makes me right with God, and I'm going to receive that you forgive me, that you make me right with God, that you give me sonship, that you put your spirit within me, that not only do you love me and accept me, now in Christ you actually like me. Ho, 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 ho,
ho. Do you feel like some stuff coming off just hearing? That's like, oh, hallelujah, it's not my performance. Hallelujah. 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 And knowing that freedom, and knowing God loves me, and knowing that God likes me, actually then makes me want to obey Jesus. What a great Savior. What a great God. He loves me. He likes me. God, what do you want to do today? Like, hey, we get to be about following you. And you empower us, and you put us in a family that helps one another. And we go from condemnation. You know what condemnation? It's like you go to the fruit section, and if it's rotten, it's condemned. No longer fit for you. And in Christ, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That label's been taken off. So folks, our culture is approval, acceptance, pat on the back, likes. Just, it's all external, isn't it? And then internally, we get to decide who's really important. Who, you know, whose likes really make it count. It's exhausting. Like, how do you ever, like, you make one post and you're like, oh, I'm kind of bored with that. Like, I gotta make another post. And I'm going, oh, like, oh, exhausting. Jesus Christ makes me accepted with God. Really need anyone else's? That's what Jesus has done. That's the gospel. That's good news. What did the Father do? is this: God the Father accepted the work of Christ on our behalf by raising Jesus from the dead. And in Christ, God raises us as well. He gives us grace and peace that Christ won and achieved for us. We just sang it this morning. Shalom. In Christ, we're given shalom. We're given wholeness with God. We're restored. And folks, it's all grace. It's all from God's love according to the will of God the Father. Folks, grace. We get what we don't deserve. It's grace. Even here this morning in worship, it's like, wow, you know, all the things I did and didn't do this week, and I don't even know if I should be here, and all these things, and yet, I come through Jesus Christ. I trust you. There's things that come to mind, like, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. I'm sorry. God, please forgive me. But I'm freedom to come into your presence because of Jesus Christ. The Father accepts me because I'm in Christ. I have peace with God. And do I deserve any of it? No! Are you worthy? No! But there is one who's worthy, Jesus Christ. And we put our hope and our faith and our trust in him as our rescuer. Folks, we do that almost every day, don't we? But that's the gospel. That's how we enter in. But then we don't lose it. Like, every day, we're living out the gospel again. We're believing in Jesus. Why is this important to understand? Briefly, this is so important to understand, and we're going to say it 100 different ways. It's so important to understand because we are wired to love being our own saviors. And why do we love being our own saviors? Because who then gets the glory? We love the attention, and we love to manufacture glory for ourselves. And there's all kinds of ways that self-salvation is very attractive. So our own efforts and works, I said it, our right behavior gets us right with God. And so, folks, I hear comments all the time, just in everyday life, with my unchurched, probably non-Christian friends who say things all the time. And they know I'm a pastor, they know I'm a Christian. So I get this like almost every day. So I don't swear, at least not very often. I try not to, and many reasons, okay? And I get comments like, oh, Joe doesn't swear, you know, therefore he's going to heaven, basically. And we get to the church, oh, you're buying your way into heaven. Folks, I get that all the time. Because what's it based on? It's what you do gets you right with God, gets you into heaven, all those things. It's very performance-based. But here's the thing. In church culture, that creeps in all the time. So it creeps in all the time. So if you just read your Bible, if you just come on Sunday, if you just do X, Y, Z, those are all good things. But again, what's the motivation behind it? Let me read this from, I wish I knew Lecrae. I feel like I know, because I know all his songs. This is where this whole sermon series came from. So let's just put the words up here to one of the songs by Lecrae from his song Misconceptions. And I won't rap it for you, okay? I won't do my hip hop, although I'm very tempted to. I can't do it fast enough, okay? Here we go. From his song, Misconceptions, what goes to this? You probably have it all figured out, right? Like the type that believes that if you act right, then that just might make you righteous in God's sight. You've been a really good person. You followed the good book as much as you could. You probably didn't go to church as much as you should, but it's all good. I mean, you never really killed anybody, never really steal from anybody. You never lusted much or did much touching of any bodies. You never use the Lord's name in vain, and you respect your neighbor. You try to maintain peace, love your enemies, and not hold on to anger. You believe that you could receive God's favor by your good deeds and right behavior. but you're dead in your transgressions and need a Savior. Because you could never win God's approval with the removal of sinful discretion. Your righteous act of removing God's wrath is in fact the biggest misconception. Folks, it can creep in. In the culture I grew up in, you didn't go to dances, you didn't play bingo, you didn't play cards, you didn't put your laundry on the line on Sunday. It all sounds seamless today. But 40 years ago, you couldn't eat at Pizza Light on Sunday because they served alcohol, but you could eat there on Monday. We laugh. We laugh. It seems incredulous. A few decades ago, you were shamed if you did any of those things. Because your getting right with God was based on your performance and action. Again, some of them might not even be bad. Or, you know, understand where some things come from. In a culture I grew up, okay, a lot of bad things happened at some of these places. You can get them. But that wasn't the word of caution. It was, no, you're bad. Folks, it can creep into our churches today. It just looks a little bit different in 2024. And Paul's warning us. And here's one that creeps into church culture a lot. And it's very subtle. And it's this, is that our salvation is based on our level of commitment and love for God. This one's a little closer to home for us than our type of churches. So the emphasis is really on how much you are committed to God, how much you love God, how much you really believe in this, and the pressure again becomes on us. And it's just another level of performance. So sometimes at our church meetings, if you cry, that must mean you really are sincere before God. Folks, it takes on all kinds of different things. Now, it could be, but it doesn't guarantee it. But what, again, what's the focus on? It's on our level of commitment, our devotion, our, me, our, as opposed to, folks, if He isn't our faith, if He is the object of our faith, and the object of our faith is Jesus. So Jesus saying, you can have faith of a mustard seed, because I'm whispering to Jesus. So Sue can come this morning and say, I don't feel like I got a lion inside of me, I'm like a mouse. But you know what? It doesn't really matter, because there's the lion of Judah. And my eyes are moving in that direction. And even if I don't feel it, my eyes are fixed on my Savior, and He's rescuing me. He's my shelter. I'm running into Him. And I might not feel it, my circumstances might not change, but it's important what my object of my faith is over my level of faith. I hope that makes sense. We can think it's just another way. And of course, in our culture, we said this last week, it's not so much what you believe as long as you are a good person. And folks, I hear this one at funerals all the time. And please hear me. I get the compassion behind it. I get the sentiment. I get the intention. And at the end of the day, God's the judge. So I'm making a judgment about what some people say. But God's the ultimate judge, because I don't know people's hearts, and I don't know what they've done. It does seem strange to me that basically all the funerals I go to and people say, this person wasn't religious or this person didn't believe in God, and yet they were a good person, so it means automatically they're in heaven. So at the funeral, it's like heaven's a much better place because they're there. They're now reunited with their family and their pets. But again, please, I'm not being facetious. I get I'm going inside. How do we just assume, because they were good, they're right with God, and they automatically go to heaven? Like, where do we get that from? That's in our vernacular. And we get the odd person who at the funeral goes, they didn't like God, and they'd rather be in hell than heaven anyway. And we laugh about it. Every time I see that, I just want to get up and preach it. They say, no. That's why Paul said, I'm so astonished. Folks, there's life and death things. Paul said, if you don't put your faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ to get you right with God, which then gets you to heaven and eternity based on Christ's performance, if it's not that, you're under a curse. You're so separated. Based things on our performance, there's just a few questions for you to wrestle through. Who gets to define good? And how much is good enough? It's a legitimate question. Who gets to define good? We get it on our performance. Jesus didn't have to come. Jesus didn't have to certainly die. He could have just come, been a good example for us, a good model, never had to die, good teacher. We wouldn't need grace. If only good people get into heaven, what about bad people? Jesus came, and if you read his teaching, he said, good and bad can come to the Father. Amen. Folks, this good news, even for bad people. And we who think we're good people will miss the good news if we think it's just for bad people. Two major misconceptions throughout 2,000 years of history and today, in closing, is this. The gospel gets changed by denying one or both of these two key things. Number one, we need a rescue. We can't save ourselves. That always is one of the ones that gets changed. And the second one is this. We are rescued. We are saved by belief and trust in Jesus' finished work on the cross and not. Gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ as a rescue, is humbling because it declares and proclaims you and I are in such a helpless position that we need a rescue that is outside of saving ourselves. Tim Keller says this, I think I have the quote up on the screen. Keller says this about the gospel. The gospel is this, the message that we are more wicked than we ever dared. It's the message that we are more wicked than we ever dared believe, but more loved and accepted in Jesus than we ever dared believe. Folks, Paul says this, to change the gospel message is to abandon Jesus. A different gospel, when you add a little sugar, it changes. It's no longer the gospel. And Paul says, if I change the message, if anyone else changes the message, if an angel changes the message, don't believe it. The gospel is good news proclaimed and declared. And folks, we, from a ourselves as a teacher, preacher, elder in this church, you as a witness of Jesus Christ, we have no right to change the message. No matter if it seems old-fashioned, offensive, out of touch, all those things. But we don't get to change the message. We are saved and rescued by grace through Christ's work on the cross and not our performance. So please don't miss this. This is like, Joe, why is this so important? Why are you slowly going through this? It's so important because of this. If everything's based on our work and our performance, then life here on earth is built out of fear, anxiety, guilt, shame, condemnation. Because, folks, you might go 30 days. You can go, I'm on day 31 of not sinning. So therefore, God is right to me. I can go to church this morning because I'm walking in because I've had a sin-free week. One, he's probably self-deceived because he's probably somewhere along the way done something or not done something he should have. But then what happens when you do sin? When you're no longer perfect and you're under condemnation again and guilt and shame. And then you're in the cycle of like, well, I've got to be better this week. Come on, passionate. Be a better person this week. Sounds so good, doesn't it? Be a better person. You can be a better version of yourself. But then you're under fear and anxiety all week. It's like, oh, I don't want to mess up. That is exhausting. It gets even worse. Not only that, for eternity, also this. Still under a curse, you're still lost, and you're going to be separated from God for eternity. But you don't like talking about hell very much. And the only time you really talk about hell is when someone tells you off and they tell you that's where you should go. Paul says, you don't understand that you need a rescue and you accept what Jesus has done. You're under a curse. In Adam, all the way back to those consequences. And to quote Sue Warrington from the poem, why would you want to stay out in the storm? God's provided it a way out. Why do you want to try to self-perform, self-save, both every day but for eternity, when God's given you an alternative? He's given you Jesus. And in this moment, when you're being a bit abrasive but serious, do you know that you've been rescued by Jesus Christ? On my heart, I'm asking you, do you know that you have been saved from yourself and from eternity, separated from God? Have you been rescued by Jesus Christ? I'm asking this morning, have you been rescued by Jesus? Do you know that for sure? Do you know that you have put your faith and hope and trust, not just in some theory, it's like, okay, this rope is made out of plastic, no, I'm holding on because I know this is the only thing that's going to save me. It's not, is Jesus good teacher? Jesus exists? Is Jesus, well, yeah, I kind of think, yeah, I believe God. Even the demons, Jesus said, believe God. But do you trust? Do you hope? I know that Jesus is the only way to the Father and salvation and eternity in heaven, based on his performance, and I'm putting all my hope and trust in Jesus. That's what we're talking about. That Jesus rescued you. Jesus rescued you. That Jesus rescued you. Do you know? Have you believed, received, accepted? Have you called on the name of Jesus to be saved? Have you believed in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead? Folks, it's a game changer for everyday life, but it's a game changer for eternity. My heart here tonight, I believe, is God's heart. Don't miss him. And maybe you've been in church all your life and you thought, but still, even though we try to preach this all the time, maybe you thought was stolen my efforts. The gospel is your love, your helpless with us. The gospel is Jesus rescues us. His perfect love, death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension. He rules and reigns. Sin, death, and Satan. The Father has accepted what Christ has done. And he gives us grace and peace in Jesus Christ. He puts us into his family. He gives us his Spirit. It's a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. He's promised us eternal life that begins now with knowing God in Jesus. Good news. It's good news. We believe and receive good news today. Let's stand. I'll ask the worship team to come. What do I say every time? This closing song isn't just tradition. Closing song gives us time to respond to God's word. We don't want to just be hearers, we want to be doers, receivers. So we have time right now to respond. And for some of us, it might be the first time. It might be the first time that today you're saying, my eyes have been opened, that I need a rescue. And Jesus, I'm going to call on your name today. For some of us, we've been Christians a long time, but it's so easy to fall back under performance. I know that I'm saved, but God doesn't really like me. It's the gospel for us again. We come through Jesus Christ to be accepted, not based on my performance. Now, as we talked before, we've got to repent of stuff, and we've got to ask for forgiveness. All those things come in the right response. But this morning, we have an opportunity to respond. So let's worship together, and let's respond in our heart, with our minds and our hearts appropriately here this morning as you need.